If you have a Bible, if you keep it open at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be looking at the first few verses of that. Like many of you, I expect, I had a money box when I was younger. Now, I had one of those very un-PC ones that you're probably not even allowed to have these days, although I have seen one in an antique shop once. It was a small African boy holding out his hand, and when you put money into the hand moved up into the boy's mouth and swallowed the coin. Now, for a little boy, that was fascinating to watch. But as I say, things have moved on, and you're probably not allowed to have them anymore. Our daughter once had a set of those high street bank pigs. And again, you see those in antique shops now, so it just shows you how old I'm getting. In my piggy bank, I was supposed to be saving my pocket money for my holiday to Morecambe, where we tended to go every year. Problem was, there was always a little rubber plug in the bottom of most money boxes, and in order to get your money out, you had to open the rubber plug and you can shake all the money out. But it was just too tempting for a little boy to leave that money in when the ice cream van or the pop man came along ringing his bell or playing the tune on his ice cream van. If we could have that next slide, thank you. A few years ago, somebody came up with a bright idea to overcome this temptation to keep dipping into your money box. And they invented a ceramic pot of dreams, which we're going to show you on the next slide, I hope. There we are. Don't know whether you've seen these advertised or in some shops. They're usually brightly painted earthenware pots, made in one piece with a slot in the top. They're usually painted with colourful decorations to hide the very basic nature of the pot. And they have wording on to the effect of, like that one, holiday fund or wedding fund or new home fund or whatever. As it's all in one piece, you can't get your treasure inside until you need all of it. So you have to crack the pot open to reveal it. Now, Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, which we're reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, described Christians as a bit like these pot of dreams, pretty basic on the outside, even though we might try to paint ourselves up to look better, but we do have a great treasure within if we're Christians, the Holy Spirit. And just like the money pot needs to be broken to reveal the treasure within, so we too need to be broken, to be humble and repentant before God can use us to carry this treasure to other people. God could have chosen legions of angels to proclaim his message of salvation as he did on that first Christmas night, but instead, he chose broken people, people who'd been redeemed from their brokenness, to show the glory of his salvation, the light of the gospel shining through us to other people. So what is this treasure? And what is this ministry that Paul talks about in verse 1 of this chapter? Earlier on in chapter 3, Paul was talking about Moses' face having to be covered with a veil to hide the glory of God reflected in his face when he went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, the Shekinah glory which made the people afraid. You can read all the details for yourselves in Exodus chapter 34 this afternoon. But one notable verse, verse 33 of Exodus chapter 34, reads, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. What about you? Is your face radiant because you've spoken with the Lord as Moses was? The more time you spend with him, the more radiant you should become. And people should know that you've spent time with him, his light shining through you. It's not a good witness when Christians go around with a miserable face, because people just think, well, if they're miserable, then there's nothing in their religion. Paul describes people who don't know the Lord as having a veil, not over their faces like Moses, but over their hearts, stopping them from responding to the gospel. But when they hear about it and respond to the Lord Jesus, it's as if that veil is removed and they can see the glory of the Lord revealed in the Lord Jesus. And that's the ministry we've been given in verse 1. Removing the veil from people's hearts and minds so that they can see Jesus reflected in us. The ministry of salvation through faith in Jesus has been revealed to us through God's great mercy, and it's our job to reveal that to others too. Paul knew only too well about God's mercy. He had been there when Stephen was sentenced to death, and he was one of the ones who approved of it. And he helped hold the coats while people stoned Stephen to death. And he'd also persecuted the early church. He'd killed some and thrown many into prison. But then on the Damascus Road, that veil was lifted from his heart. And the blinding light of Christ shone into his life as he received the Lord's mercy and salvation. If God can show mercy to the murderer and persecutor that was Saul, he can surely show mercy to you. However bad you think your sins are, you too can find mercy and forgiveness through the cross, just like Paul did. Renouncing his past life and setting forth the truth plainly, as it says in verse 2, telling others simply what has happened to us, Paul set about telling others the good news that he had found, the treasure he had in his life. And that's our job too. Having experienced the grace and mercy of God in our lives, our ministry should also be one of helping to remove the veil from people's hearts that the God of this world, Satan, has put there. Look at verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If we keep this treasure to ourselves, it's like putting on a lamp in our rooms at night and then putting a cover over it so it goes dark again. The lamp under a bowl that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 5. Let me read you verse 3. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Terrible thing to do, isn't it? Hide something from someone who needs it. And the world out there needs the gospel of Christ in this dark world. So don't hide it. Don't keep it to yourselves. During this coronavirus pandemic, it's often been difficult to tell whether we were getting the whole truth about things from our newspapers and TV channels, and all sorts of fake information about how the virus originated and how to prevent it that were circulating on all our social media sites. Just talk of swallowing bleach or injecting it or whatever. How do you know what the truth is these days? And how do you know if a preacher is preaching the truth? Is he preaching about himself and his views all the time? Or is he preaching the whole gospel as revealed in God's word? The gospel of repentance from sin. The salvation from that sin, only brought about through the love and mercy of God, through the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, and only effected by putting your faith and trust in his shed blood and trusting him as both Lord and Saviour. Paul declared that he was not preaching about himself, but about the Lord Jesus Christ, and his whole life was dedicated to serving others by preaching it. Look at verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. As Christians, we're the servants of others. Servants who take out that good news that we've experienced to others. Moses, as we heard earlier, knew about light shining into his life, and so did Paul. As he wrote verse 6, which you can see up on the overhead there, he must have been thinking back to that awesome time when the light from heaven blinded him on the Damascus Road, and he heard the voice of the risen Lord Jesus speaking directly to him. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Once light shines into our life through his Holy Spirit, our veils are lifted, our eyes open to see and know the glory of God shown in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Then, just like the moon reflects the light of the sun onto the earth to brighten up a dark night, we too should reflect the light of the gospel into this dark world. What Saul was told on that day also applies to us. Once our eyes are open to the truth of the gospel, we are charged to tell others so that their eyes too may be opened. In Acts chapter 26, verse 16 to 18, Paul tells King Agrippa the very words that the Lord said to him on that day on the Damascus Road. He said, "I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen of me. I am sending you to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness into light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me." That place reserved for the saints of God, those who've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So we are to be servants and witnesses of him. But we mustn't get all puffed up about it, thinking we've got the answers and we know everything. We mustn't think that we know it all. That's why this treasure that we talked about earlier is in jars of clay, as verse 7 says. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Our own feeble bodies are made from the dust of the ground, as indeed were the clay jars, for example, mentioned in Jeremiah, which contained the ancient treasures in the temple, or the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were found more recently, containing some of the earliest gospel accounts. In the weakness and difficulties of our frail human bodies, we can still show that the power belongs to God and not to us. In America, they're very keen on announcing their sports stars being admitted to a Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame becomes like a museum for every sports star that the country has ever had. And each sport, from baseball to basketball to American football, has one, detailing photos of the stars and their lives and their sporting achievements. Did you know that Christians have a Hall of Fame too? You can find it in Hebrews chapter 11. But it's nothing like the Hall of Fame that you see in America, or we've started to use them ourselves more recently. We only need to look at that spiritual Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 to see how frail God's people are from a human point of view. We have Noah, the naked drunkard. Abraham, the liar, who passed off his wife as his sister. Jacob, the deceiver, who stole his brother's birthright. Moses, a murderer and stuttering, reluctant leader. Rahab, the prostitute. Frail human beings. Jars of clay, just like we are. But by their faith in the living God, they became admitted to that great spiritual Hall of Fame. The world was not worthy of them, Hebrews 11 verse 38 says. So what about you? Are you feeling, as Paul says in verse 8, are you feeling hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down as Paul and his fellow workers often did? But Paul wasn't afraid of such hardships, for he said later on in chapter 12 of this book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 verse 9 and 10, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong.'" So don't make excuses that you're not good enough, you can't do this, you can't do that. The Lord's power can use you for his glory as he shines in your life. We were in full lockdown when we started writing this, and it looks as though, as I read these notes, we're going to be in almost full lockdown again, for at least for the next month. But I don't think we were crushed, were we? Or in despair, or abandoned, or destroyed, because the Lord was our strength and weakness, and has been with us through it all, and he will be with us through whatever's to come in the next few weeks. You may feel like your body is cracked and broken sometimes, especially as you get older. But remember, the Dead Sea Scrolls were broken, and they contained an amazing treasure of some of the early Gospels. Remember, you have your treasure in your old clay pot, a treasure that can never perish, spoil or fade, as Peter reminded us in his first letter. a treasure that needs sharing with others, for then it will multiply, unlike the money in our old clay money boxes. Reflect the light of the gospel into people's lives, so that their veils may be lifted, and they too become filled with that heavenly treasure, shining out to those around still in darkness.